is in danger of becoming a permagrin. Damn, it feels good to tear around town in the sweetest piece of American muscle I've ever owned. We only had to duck into one alley to lose a cop, which shows you just how much I've held back. Last thing I need is a reckless driving charge for the press to chew on and blow out of proportion. Frisco laughs his ass off as we head back toward downtown Nashville and his apartment. He's got one of those lofts in a rehabbed warehouse somewhere around here. Where am I going? Am I dropping you off? His laughter cuts off. Fuck no. That was just the warm-up, right? We need some booze. I slow as traffic gets heavier near Broadway. All the people crowding the streets reminds me of playing for tips in some hole in the wall on 16th Avenue before I finally landed a record deal. Everything happened fast after that. One day I was sleeping in my car, and the next they were putting me up at a hotel I couldn't afford on my own, all because some record exec saw dollar signs when I played. Worked for me. Where we headed? Take a left up here. He points toward a dark side street. Even though I'm questioning whether he's got his directions backward, I turn. Two blocks down. A few minutes later, the glow of blue and green neon lights appears up ahead. The fishbowl. The logo looks exactly like you'd think. A blue bubble of a fishbowl with green writing in the middle and a matching green fish inside. I slow, intending to pull up to the curb, but he points toward the next side street. Take a right and park in the back. Might help keep someone from spotting the car and trying to track you down. Good looking out. I guide the 442 around the back of the crumbling three-story brick building and park next to a rusty Javelin. Frisco is already climbing out of the car and shutting the door when I stop and look at it. I wonder whose ride this is. Frisco shoots me a grin. Only the hottest woman I've met in this town who keeps turning me down. You fucking serious? We're here so you can try to get laid by some chick who shot you down. He pauses, his fingers wrapped around the crooked handle of the back door of the building. Guess we'll find out. Frisco yanks it open, and for a second, I consider leaving his ass here and going home. It would serve him right. The light from inside streams through the closing door, and Johnny Cash's gravelly voice slips out. What the hell? It ain't like I've got anything better to do tonight anyway. The inside of the bar is like plenty of others I've been in. Stale aroma from years of smoke hangs in the air of the high-ceilinged space, longer than it is wide. A scarred wooden bar stretches down the middle section of the left wall, probably about 30 feet in length. The walls are plastered with photos of country legends from a bygone era, and the one nearest to me has an illegible message written to Rhonda above the scrawled signature of Merle Haggard. Frisco makes a beeline toward the bar where a woman with an incredible rack and a wild mane of dark hair works the taps for two people seated on stools. She's got to be the one Frisco's after. I can't argue. The man has impeccable taste. I tear my eyes off her and survey the only other patrons in the bar. The couple looks like they've been taking up space since Merle signed the picture on the wall. Frisco may be right. No worries about a security problem here tonight. I doubt Fred and Ethel have ever heard of TMZ or would know who to contact to report a celebrity sighting. But just to be on the safe side, I tug the bill of my worn baseball cap lower before crossing the scraped concrete floor.